Yeah.
Dang. Wait.
I had feelings like that as a kid.
My middle name's David.
Huh. I don't think I ever knew that.
I mean, it's not, you know, no one publicizes anyone's middle name except for, like, the FBI, so.
That's true.
Like, every once in a while.
John Wayne Gacy.
Like, it's something that, like, crops up on Facebook. And, you know, that's not
by accident. They do that for a purpose.
What's the purpose?
The idea is that if you're publicizing the identity of somebody really horrible, the odds are high that someone else will have their first and last name. And you're right. Like, we don't want to do that to somebody, so we'll attempt to minimize it as much as we can by using the evil person's middle name as part of it, so that if there's a John Bob Gacy, like, he's going to be a little better off.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't publicize his name, like, if there's a Calder Holbrook out there killing people, like, and they go, and the killer is Calder Murgatroyd Holbrook, they're still going to, we're all still going to be looking at you, or at least I would have up until just a few minutes ago.
Calder Fauntleroy Holbrook.
There couldn't be anybody else. That is absolutely the guy that we podcast with. He is a stone cold murderer.
Fauntleroy, like, the first time I heard it, I was an adult when I heard the name Fauntleroy. And I know there's also something called a Little Lord Fauntleroy, which I don't really know anything about it. But Fauntleroy is a very interesting name.
What's wrong with just Leroy? Why you got to add the font on the front?
Leroy?
It's
Fauntleroy is just fancy Leroy.
Is it? Fauntleroy?
Fauntleroy.
So it's Fountain of Roy?
I guess.
Is that what you're trying to say? That it's three things? Fauntleroy?
Yeah, because if you call it Fauntleroy, then people will think all the Fauntleroys are murderers.
What are you trying and failing to say? Oh.
Fauntleroy is one whole name. Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding ding, dang ding, dang ding doom.
You know what? I'm just gonna pretend that never happened.
That might be the theme.
Welcome to AE Doubleback for Wednesday, May 11th, 2022. I like Zencastr, but it doesn't always work. Sometimes it just sprays nonsense, white noise nonsense all over our podcast.
Yeah, I don't know
how to. How to explain what the noise is that we're hearing. It sounds rather like a 2-liter bottle of bees under intense pressure spraying a leak, and they all poured out of a hole in the side.
That is, in fact, what the sound was that I recorded.
I did study sound in school, so I have an expertise. Just
specifically bee sounds, which is really specific, and it's only your own fault for having a useless college degree.
Look, when the killer bees start to attack, we will be glad to have someone who can distinguish the certain sounds to save our lives.
This sounds like the worst Blumhouse movie, and they have had some stinkers.
Whoa.
Sure.
Why are you focusing on the ones that they had that weren't the absolute best? Their hit percentage is so high. Show me the film studio that is at 100% success. Unless if it's a porn studio, then I'd be like, yeah, that's accurate. Because, you know, what they're trying to do is what they're doing, and that's success.
Yes. According to the Roger Ebert metric, they're killing it.
Yeah.
Two thumbs up all the way.
And Roger Ebert knew about porn. Don't make any mistake about that.
Look, just because he wrote a Roger Corman film doesn't mean that he was a pornographer.
He did not write a Roger Corman film. He wrote a Russ Meyer film.
Russ Meyer, Mobby.
Who the fuck are these people?
Roger Ebert? He was a famous movie critic. Jesus Christ.
I know who Ebert is, but you say, like, something like Mickey Mouse, right? Very well known.
Okay.
Probably nationally, if not globally, recognized.
Liking where this metaphor is going. Keep going.
And then you throw out these names like Jim Jam, Jig Jibbery Jibbery.
I was really
Blob, Borbulson, Bork Borks. Like, I'm supposed to know, and everyone's supposed to know, oh, the Bork Borks that made the Bork Bork House films. Oh, you know, the fuck are you talking about? Who the fuck are these people?
Well, I mean, that's really the easy remedy.
Is there some sort of E.T. of porn out there that connects all of humanity so that director is now the most famous be known internationally, no matter what the fuck is going on. Like, no, that is not the case with any sort of writer or director. By the way, the fact that there's two of those things is fucking ridiculous. Well, of porn, period.
Well, no, they're not.
It's like a $1 trillion industry. I don't care. I'm still going to trash it.
I wouldn't say that either one of them was really in porn. Roger Corman was an independent film producer and director. He made mainstream regular films.
I don't know. He made The Little Shop of Horrors. Do you recall that pornographic classic, The Little Shop of Horrors?
Why were you guys talking about porn?
Well, Chan says, like, why were we talking about? Talking about that? That's not wrestling. But Russ Meyer was an infamous filmmaker who was like, to an absurd degree, he was about like cartoon sized boobs. Like, he made movies that were
Faster Pussycat Kill Kill, the Teresa Tana movies. The one we're referencing that involved Roger Ebert was Roger Ebert wrote Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. Ever heard of it?
You know, I bet she hasn't. And, you know, that's understandable.
I'm familiar with Valley of the Dolls. Is it the same as Beyond the Valley of the Dolls?
It was meant to seem that way, but it's not. Yeah.
Then
Valley of the Dolls was like that film. The idea of Valley of the Dolls was, I think, to sort of present an idea of like the modern, like pill popping, like fast living culture that was particularly like what they imagined women were doing, or maybe a sensationalized like picture of what women might be doing.
They're sensationalizing what the world would be like if women had the choice to do what they want and use their own minds and reason. They're saying, see, they're fucking idiots and psychopaths and drug addicts. They can't handle the pressures of choices in their lives. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I mean,
that
really
might also be me's talking now. not about about people right now, not just people back then. Because, like, it's scarily similar. In fact, it's the same. I'm just going to say it. It's the same.
Wow. That was a real a journey we went on there.
Yeah, I went on that. And then I was like, oh, wait. I should
reel
it back.
Is this a wrestling podcast? Yes.
No.
Am I happy that we went down this wild-ass dark alley? Yes. Also, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
but
great.
But now that we've cleared matters up.
Okay.
I mean, we're just all looking for the Russ Meyer of pro wrestling is certainly why I'm in this.
Bork Borks. I like Bork Borks.
Yeah.
Teresa's looking for the Bork Borks of wrestling.
The Bork Borks should be at least one trio's tag team name when that is happening.
I would like that.
Combined weight of 750 pounds hailing from Sweden.
Bork and Bork.
I have two possible titles for this episode already. Let's see how many we can rack up before this is over.
Well, if we come up with a lot, you're not going to be able to pick any of them. And it's going to go untitled.
You guys, well, I had a lot of chocolate.
Read the notes. Read the liner notes.
Now, jelly beans get me all goofy. Does chocolate get me, like, pissed off? I don't know.
Apparently.
I do know that
I
am heavily fatigued, and I am likely to become giddy and giggly, like, real soon. So that's my drug.
Yeah, if y'all want to get some great wand jokes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No. Absolutely not.
Yes.
Yeah, our Book of Wan jokes, needless to say, starts page
101 Wan jokes.
To be clear, after the podcast last week was over and after I left the room, so it was just the two of you, you started making Wan puns, like J-U-A-N.
We were so goofballs that, like, for some reason, everything was funny. And I was like, I wonder it must be tricky when you're talking to someone and their name is Wan, but you're also trying to say one. And so it's like the sentence could just be confusing, like Wan, one, Wan is one, Wan is two. You know,
we were really identifying with the plight of these people, and frankly, it brought us to tears.
You know, and then we were just coming up with, like, how many ways could this get weird? I think Wan Senior, Wan Junior, and then Monsignor Wan Senior. I think that was my favorite.
Monsignor Wan Senior. Yeah. I mean, we have.
If Wan Senior was a Monsignor.
We have a lot of this written down, so it is
absolutely not. Nope.
Why not?
We are moving on. We are moving.
Are you sure about that? I think this podcast has changed.
I will edit. I will edit all of you out. I will do this podcast alone and just have big blank spaces.
You'd probably get further in life if you did that. I'm sure. There's probably more people that want to just get to the wrestling. Sorry, everyone in the world. You correctly should have just skipped ahead 30 minutes. Okay.
You should do a podcast where there are huge blank spaces where you set up the listener to come up with their own thing to say.
Like a Mad Lib?
Yeah. And they're, yeah, they're hosting with you.
Well, someday.
All right. It's AEW. we're reviewing Dynamite tonight. We got Adam Cole versus Dax Harwood, and this is an actual bracket match in the Owen Hart tournament, not a qualifier. So we finally made it into the brackets. Thank God. So here we are. And man, this is a really good match.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Dax was giving it to Adam real hard.
Is that right?
No. Yeah. Okay, I realize now that the ET of porn is Teresa. Teresa is the ET of porn that brings everyone together with a glowing finger, I guess, is what we were.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know there's a porn out there like that, only the glowing finger goes in someone's ass. And then, like, they start glowing from the inside of their
head. I'll tell you what the porn that we're gonna do is. It's gonna be one girl, two wands.
Oh, no. Hey. Lord, save us. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Dax Harwood. This is. Tell me this isn't a porn name.
I know that's what you were thinking, because yes. I heard you giggling and I'm like, can we just get to the match?
Then you talk about it.
I don't. Ugh.
And the even more erotic Adam Cole.
So Adam's hole is going up against Dax Hardwood.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they're sweaty and they're grappling and they're they're giving it to each other just as hard as you possibly can.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, everyone. I'm so sorry.
And a man who role playing as a quote unquote referee is content to just watch.
Well, I like to watch. So, okay, look.
This is a good match. It's a really good match. It's what you expect from Dax Harwood. It's the fun and the flourish you get from Adam Cole as well. I mean, it's a great match to start the night, but also as oh my God, I just forgot his name. now I want to say the man in the mask.
Excalibur?
Excalibur? Thank you.
Wow.
As Excalibur noted, it's a great opening match for the tournament.
If William Regal gets in your head that much, just let it happen. Just let it happen.
I'll tell him you said that. Mm-hmm. And he'll be like, that's fucking crazy.
I know, E.T. I know.
Oh, God. Okay. It's
just a matter of time before Carissa meets him at Republic of Lucha. Yeah, I'll tell you what I liked, and I was thinking about this a lot during this match, was what Adam Cole is capable of in terms of flexing into a style or role, because he's so strong, obviously, at playing a certain kind of heel and doing those promo segments and being that as well in ring. But this was a match where it felt far more like he, and this is something that I think like tournaments do that's so interesting, is that they provide this really organic way for things to be different, because like it'll be two people that don't have a grudge, and therefore the emotional content is different. So that Adam Cole is really matching what Dax is doing. Like, he feels like he is being a Dax in terms of like no nonsense, hard hitting action that does not have like cowardly heel or braggadocio heel type stuff involved in it. It's more pure. And that's just like a fun treat for a moment from somebody from whom we might rather have the other thing most of the time. So that was what I thought.
I really thought Dax was going to win.
Yeah.
I don't really know where they're going to go with this either, because I feel like this is a great opportunity for them to just pull something out of their ass and just be like, oh, my God, you know, Fuego del Sol wins it or something like that. Yeah, we'll see. Well,
they're going to pull something out of their ass. It's that kind of porn.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it is.
I thumbs it up.
Thumb up.
Yeah, me too.
Up the butt. Jeff Hardy and Darby, they do a promo. Now, why didn't they do this last week? Because this was edited together, pre-shot, and it was fast and quick. Because, like, the editor is going to do that. And basically, Darby's saying, you know, let's make this match no rules and let us do what we're going to do, blah, blah, blah. This actually was a great promo, and it gets you excited for what's to come later in the night. What the fuck? Why would they wait and hide this promo for a whole week? You know what I mean? Like, why last week was it, Jeff, what are you going to say? It's going to be cool. You know what I mean? That was last week. That stupid moment that he got paid for was last week. I'm sorry, but that wasn't worth price of admission. You wouldn't go see a show based on that.
The capitalist Teresa is going around judging whether everybody deserves to have earned the money that they're surviving off of.
Take away his paychecks. Take them away.
This is the double-edged sword that you get when you allow people to script their own promos, or you know, like do their own promos, have control over it, have control over the characters, how they present themselves. Like, obviously the downside of the WWE style is that you have no say. And, you know, if you're going to be Dolph Ziggler, you're stuck with Dolph Ziggler. But the upside is that sometimes they're right. And sometimes Darby isn't the, you know, most engaging face. And, you know, Jeff Hardy is, well, kind of always nowadays, just a zero in terms of the charisma. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know. Maybe
zero.
He is. I just don't click with him, and so many people do. So it's clearly not objectively true. But when you have these two people colliding and just let them go, sometimes it's just going to suck because they're doing their own thing, and there's nobody telling them, like, "Hey, could you? I don't know. Care
not
at some point. Just care." I actually middled this because I didn't want to see that match.
Right. But this changed my mind a little bit.
I mean, well, no, the fact that they said like there's going to be no rules. I'm like, oh, great. So they're going to do something even more stupid and Jeff's going to break his damn neck. Just because I'm not that interested in seeing him cut a promo or frankly, even to be in the ring that much. I don't want to die or be hurt for crying out loud. Yeah. So like when they said like, yeah, no rules. I'm like, oh, boy, this is not good. I'm not looking forward to this. But they did what they were supposed to do because obviously you got excited. So I have to middle it because they did a good job.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess I middle it as well. It was definitely all right. It was not objectionable to me.
I thumbs it up.
No, I heard you. I made note of it. Okay. It's in the record book.
Okay. Hangman Adam Page. He's on the announce desk. We got CM Punk versus John Silver in this match.
And in the crowd, two luminaries from comedy juggernaut Impractical Jokers.
Ah, interesting. Boy,
I wonder how scared they are for their jobs. because the guy who's running TNT and TBS and True TV got laid off today.
Oh, yeah.
Gee.
Because Discovery bought Warner, and so they're just going through and like, no more scripted stuff. Script is real expensive, so
fire.
You're gone.
Discovery bought Warner?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Like Warner Brothers Studios?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is going on?
It's just one of those like corporate things.
I know, but like, how far reaching will that be? I mean, that's huge. That's a huge studio.
It's pretty big, but like Discovery's also huge. And Warner was under the umbrella of AT&T, which is this enormous conglomerate where it's just like a little, you know.
Right, I know. I mean, I used to work for NBC Universal, so I know about how to be the most profitable part of an enormous conglomerate and still get none of the funding.
Yeah.
It's like having brownie sales and stuff, right?
Like, yeah, because NBC at the time was owned by GE.
I just remember growing up, like I would learn about the corporate turnover by like what company David Letterman was making jokes about, because it would be like, he would suddenly be talking about how bad Westinghouse was, like, and I don't know what that is, but they must be bad at stuff.
A grand tradition carried on now by John Oliver.
Yeah,
business daddy is one of my favorite terms.
Yeah. Anyway, so this was a good match. I haven't seen John Silver in a minute, so that was cool. Mm-hmm. CM Punk's giving all these death stares to Hangman. And he's doing that, and then he defeats John Silver by doing a buckshot lariat. So that's a direct, you know, like, hey, fuck you, man. I just beat your dude, your best friend here, with your move. So then, of course, Hangman goes to the ring so they can confront each other. But Punk cuts this awesome promo. And he's like, you know, hey, sounded like last week, like you were taking this real personal. The belt's not personal, man. But okay. You know, so it is interesting. I'm glad he called that out because that was weird, right? It sounded like he was turning heel or some shit. And it's like, what the fuck? So, but Punk's like, but you know what? You will shake my hand at the end of that match. And he puts out his hand right then. And he knew he wasn't going to shake his hand. But Hangman flips him off instead, walks away. And he's like, yeah. Because for some reason, Long Island doesn't like CM Punk.
Because the last time they were there, he was going up against MJF. And it's a hometown boy. I think this is fantastic in the way that they have basically made Long Island into the AEW version of what Philly was for ECW. Like, Philly is a notoriously rambunctious town for sports. And they just really, like, for ECW, it was like, that was their team and they got super loyal to them. And they were just, when you would go into, you know, when you would watch the shows, they were just so amped for it. And in the same way, like Long Island has become that, like they're just crazy jazzed for their guys. John Silver, local guy, MJF, local guy. Punk wore the jersey and they were booing the hell out of him. And because Punk is so good, he can turn, he can do heel on a dime. And he was getting the, that reaction was just fantastic.
And
it reminds me like, oh yeah, heel Punk is real good.
Not too bad.
Although weirdly at the beginning, I felt like there was a technical error because like the music disappeared. And I don't know if that was intentional because then you could hear boos. So it's like, oh, did they turn that off so that you could hear the audience? Or did somebody backstage like turn it off while he was still walking down?
No, he did the motion with his hand.
Oh, is that what that was?
The music. Yeah.
Oh, I missed that. Okay.
Yeah. And then, so yeah, Punk's music was playing and usually it plays for like an hour.
Yeah.
But, and everyone's already gone home for the night. and somebody's just sweeping up. Anyway, so they
Fan Teresa is just trying to spare you. Your body is breaking down. The sound and picture was perfect to everyone but you and your decrepit Frankenstein's monster body.
Well, anyway, so like usually it's on for a long time, and but Punk like was like astonished by the boos.
Brilliant.
So he cut his music and listened to it and really like soaked it up.
I will say that there was a blown spot near the end there that almost made me middle this thing because I feel bad. I'm looking around. I'm like, oh, my God, I feel like I am way too harsh on some of the women's matches. Like you get blown spots sometimes. And that is it's what it is. It's part of the business. And when it happens in a women's match, I'm more likely to kind of like, eh, that wasn't so great. So I was kind of close to middling it. It's a real good match. But like John Silver jumps up on the second rope and he kind of misses it, which is fine. Yeah. But then Punk came in and instead of doing the thing they'll do where like he doesn't quite sell it as hard, you know, and the commentators can go, oh, he didn't get all of that. Mm. He just straight whiffed and rolled like he had, you know, was in this DDT that didn't connect in any way, shape, or form. And I'm like, ugh, that was real bad. Mm. But that finish was so good.
Yeah.
That finish where he does that and then moves the story along and gets paged out into the ring. Like that was like, there's so much great professional wrestling in this match. And I was so stoked about it.
It was really good.
Like I just, I want so much for John Silver, like I would want him to have like, you know, if not a the big title like run, then at least at some point to be able to do the TNT belt for a while because of what joy it would spark for. Like when he has nothing particular going on, the energy that he projects is so incredible, and he immediately steps into a big moment, like fitting into it, like you know, he makes his entrance and he gets the Justin Roberts introduction, and it all feels so right. Apart from being like a feel good kind of a moment for a hometown boy at all. I would love him to get a belt someday.
I feel like it is almost inevitable. Like he's definitely someone who deserves like a mid-tier belt.
I mean, I sure don't see why not. Like he might not ever be a premier belt guy, but I don't think that has to be the end goal always. You know, even if he just had even if it was just like a tag titles run. Did he have one of those already? Am I forgetting that?
I don't remember. I don't think so, but they definitely should have one.
They should, yeah. At any rate, like it is, on the basis of him alone, like a high profile match that he would get to have, it was great.
Yeah.
I gave this an up.
Ooh. Yep, same.
Me too.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Powerhouse Hobbs is not in this next segment.
So we've got a promo. Britt, Jamie, Rubble. Britt's bringing back the conspiracy talk again.
Fun.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was all right. I mean, it's been like 4 or 5 weeks talking about this upcoming match, or like, I don't know what. Talking about, I guess initially it was a challenge or something. I don't know why it was a challenge. Like, there's been no real history with these characters other than we're standing here and you suck? What? You suck. I suck. I'll hit you. What? You'll hit me? I'm going to hit you twice. What? Wow. Hit me twice? Well, my friend said that would suck. Yeah. Well, my friend said that would suck and I'll attack too. I mean, just like, I hate myself when I just did that whole little bit there, you know, like that's awful.
Well, I don't know. You really sold me on your match.
I feel like we're trying to use Britt here to get Jamie Hayter over. And I am for that. I am very much for her doing that. And I'm very much for Hayter getting that heat. And it's not quite connecting. And I'm not sure why.
Jamie needs to be able to do her own promo at some point. Britt can talk for a minute, or she can just stand there and back her up. But to only let Britt be the mouthpiece does not push anything forward, because we've really not rounded out any of the, well, I shouldn't say any, but a lot of the female wrestlers. The male wrestlers, there's so many that they've taken time to develop them as characters and like give you the opportunity to get to know them in many different ways. But the women's division, they're still like giving the spotlight to two, maybe three. Now and again, there'll be a fourth and a fifth. But it's like, as a whole, I mean, there's a lot of women and we still don't have a full representation of a lot of them. Now, some of them, we know them just because they've been around a long time with AEW, especially during the pandemic. And it was like, we're just eating this new company up, you know, by the handful, because we just can't get enough of this new beautiful thing. And we love it all. But like, we let them not develop their female talent as much because we were just trying to see what sports, you know, when there was no sports or whatever. I don't know. Wrestling. You know what I'm trying to say, though. Helping her at all.
Well, but I mean, they are giving her the time to do it. And that's what I'm saying, is that like, for whatever reason, it's not quite working. And I don't know if maybe just the matches need to be booked a little differently. Like maybe they need to book her as more of a monster heel, just like a more of a threat in the ring. She's good, but she's not someone that you're like, oh my God, I got to see what, like when Serena Deeb comes out, you're like, Jesus, she's scary.
True, but that's because Deeb's character is scary, and Deeb has gone to great lengths to like show you that. And demonstrate that in promos, not just in the ring.
Right. But if you don't, if you're not good enough to do that, then you get a mouthpiece that can sell that for you. Like,
Nyla like doesn't Jungle need Boy it. And Christian Cage, even though I think Christian Cage sucks at it. But still, you watch when Christian Cage doing his thing and Jungle Boy would talk. They would let Jungle Boy talk and then Christian Cage would talk, right? Mm-hmm. So that's like getting the little birdie ready to fly. You know what I mean? But they don't do that when Britt is talking. They don't let the other women talk. I mean, okay. I know they do sometimes, but like not with Jamie Hayter. It hasn't happened. Unless it has, I forgot. I'm sure that's possible.
I don't know. I know that I would like to see a little more variety in what they are doing with the promos, because it certainly has felt like it's a, like a lot of the same interview segments, and they definitely don't seem to progress an enormous amount from one to the next. And it would be fun if they just found any other way right now to try to show off Jamie Hayter and Toni Storm outside of matches.
I think with this particular feud, the problem is just the problem you get with a bad sketch. It's not heightening. It's not exploring the world any. It's just one note over and over again. And that's it's hard to say whose fault that is. But yeah, it just needs to be better.
All I know is that I like Jamie Hayter.
Yeah. Same.
I want to see her away from Britt, to be perfectly honest. But she doesn't have to be. I just want her to be able to do things on her own. I don't necessarily like Britt with any kind of faction, because she ends up sucking the air out of the room. Like, no offense, but you know, everything goes to her. You know, she gets the mic time, she gets the camera time. That's fine, you know, but like then it just diminishes the point of having other people around. So it would be nice to have Jamie Hayter like have enough time on her own, because I really like her. God, yeah. This is just a promo, and I can't stop talking about all this other shit.
I'll say this much, that as like seeing someone in Britt Baker who monopolizes all of the opportunities to speak and sucks the air out of the room, I just enjoy seeing myself represented in media, and I don't think everyone gets to have that the way that I do. So that's really cool.
Yeah, representation matters, Teresa.
Hey, look, I like Cal.
Okay, here's the thing. We only get one inside joke that an audience will not understand unless they're Facebook friends with Calder, a show.
All right.
We already did it. We already did the wand.
We did wand.
Let poor Cal lie.
Well, we told the audience about Juan, though, so.
Yeah, that's an outside joke now.
Now I can say Cal all over again.
I middled this.
Yeah, I middled it.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's fair, but is it what's in your heart, Colby?
It is what's in my heart.
All right, so this was a much... I'm sorry, it's been like 2 hours, and we still haven't gotten to the fourth segment. The fourth segment...
Whose fault is that? Chocolate.
It's mine.
Girl.
It's mine. It's totally mine.
We're making the best time we've made in weeks. So, you know.
All right. So, Danhausen versus Toni Nese. So excited. It's a Wednesday. It's Dynamite. And we get to see Danhausen.
Oh, that cape.
I know. We get
so
full
preposterously
entrance.
Excited. Yes. Sorry.
And then it's over in like 2 seconds. Toni Nese. Beats the shit out of him. And so it's like, oh no. And then Mark says, like, yelling at the audience, basically gets Mark Sterling's on the mic, and he's like, you know, this is how, you know, we beat your meme wrestlers.
Hold on, because I started transcribing this as he was talking, because I was so into it. He was like, 1 second, he's like yelling at the crowd, are you shocked? Oh, sorry. I'm not. Toni, this guy got an entrance and you didn't. What do you think about that? And then Toni gives him another one of those running knees. It looks terrifying. I guess Toni's niece is just going to have to continue to embarrass all your internet meme wrestlers. Do it again. Do it again. That's when he pulled down the knee pad. Oh,
and then we hear Hook's music. He came out to help Danhausen. The guys run away. And then Danhausen holds out his hand. And Hook's looking around. And the audience is like, oh my God, is this official? And Hook shakes his hand. It's Hookhausen.
Hookhausen is real, baby.
Boy.
So excited. Give the fans what they want, man.
Yeah.
That's how you sell popcorn.
Got to get them what they want. This was I was unhappy that Danhausen would lose, but I understand it and all, and I think that it probably serves everyone, because like reflecting on it I can only say great things about like all the people involved, because it's Mark Sterling doing Mark Sterling and being really fun. And I'm like, I don't, my God, am I interested in Tony Nese for the first time kind of almost ever? Because I always was like, he's got an amazing body and he's a great wrestler. And it doesn't move me a lot, but now I'm like, he fucked up our darling. I don't care for that. I have feelings about you, Tony Nese.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic call, because Danhausen hasn't been established as any kind of great wrestler. The only reason people are loving him is because he's entertaining and goofy. Yeah. So yes, you feed him to Tony Nese, who needs to get over as like this ridiculously competent wrestler. And it was perfect, because then, now the audience has heat for the guy, which is what you need for him.
Yes.
And,
they both have heat. They all have heat. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be like a series of matches, and I'm looking forward to it, and promos and all that shit. I'm into it.
And how dare you just skip over the part where Justin Roberts had to announce that Danhausen was 6'7" and over 300 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
over. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't like skip it, but I mean, it's wonderful.
Like, Teresa has made a commitment to not spreading misinformation, because the truth should matter.
Facts are facts.
Facts, what's a
don't
fact?
Don't care about your feelings.
Is the look on Danhausen's face when Hook took his hand? It was just such like commedia dell'arte, just like, wah!
Yeah, he's like, oh my God, it happened. As though all he didn't just fucking
just over the top delight.
Yeah, this is gonna be a really interesting unit. It feels like it's AEW's own version of the whole Matt Riddle and Randy Orton thing in WWE. And, you know, you're not ever going to duplicate what someone else does, even if you were to try to. So it's not going to be like that. But the idea of the silent, like, brooding jerk and the talky, like, fun one, it just seems like a good pairing always. So that should be cool.
Yeah, it'll be good. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. Okay, up.
Up.
Okay, and like, God, you would think this next bit is like almost the match of the night, but it's not even a match. It's contract signing with MJF and Wardlow. Now, Wardlow has signs behind him, like the big, you know, signs. He doesn't have his music, but like the graphic behind him says, "Boo, Wardlow." There's balloons. There's lots of security. And then there's this promo video that's supposed to be like the dark side of the ring, like a movie preview or something. And it's narrated by Jericho. And and he's like, "Wait, I'm not saying all this. Wait, how much is paying?" Okay. It's like
simple stuff. So great.
It's so good. And there was even a guy in there, and they're basically all saying like how wonderful MJF is.
Are you talking about Barry Horowitz?
Yeah. Legendary Jewish wrestler.
Yes. Yes. He was one of, back in the 80s, he was one of the sort of signature enhancement talents, the jobbers. Like whenever you saw Barry Horowitz, you knew he was going to lose to, you know, whatever superstar was in the ring with him. Like Barry Horowitz, Iron Mike Sharp, like all of these guys, just like, it's just like a fun reference. I'm glad the guy got to work.
Okay. Anyway, it was really funny. And then MJF comes out. He's got a huge response. And you know, he's just playing to the crowd. It was just, I don't know how long this thing went on. It seemed like forever, but it was a lot of fun, very entertaining. He calls himself the Mensch of the Cinch. Get that.
What was that?
I mean,
really, really good.
The crowd ate this up with, you know, not just spoons, but forks, chopsticks, knives, all of it, whatever they could get little morsels of.
Yeah, they at one point they used a lemon zester. That was weird, but you know, they were doing whatever they could.
This was another one of those things that I was not at all looking forward to, because contract signings in the WWE were always just garbage and just a waste of time. And in the hands of MJF, it was just magical. It was just like he just got to – here's 10 minutes to just tell a bunch of just killer jokes, basically. And make a bunch of killer, air quotes, insider references.
Yeah.
To pop the internet crowd, and then just basic stuff. Like, he's getting the phrase "the most magical place on earth" over like nobody's business. That's kind of what I was saying about like the Philly thing. Like, Long Island loves him so much, and deservedly so.
I caught myself saying, yeah, Long Island, maybe I should go.
Maybe. Is it like Disneyland? Do they have Dole Whip there?
Maybe it's amazing.
I think the zoo has Dole Whip. Or their version thereof.
Like the American roller coaster just made me giggle.
Yeah, that was a good one.
You don't want to talk about 2024.
Oh,
the guy
in
the back doesn't either.
That was like unsettling because of the verisimilitude in it.
Yeah, that's it. Like every once in a while, he would drop in something that just felt a little too real. And you're like, wait, ooh, it just made everything better. Mm-hmm. Then he did the reference to Ty Dillinger. Back in WWE, Shawn Spears was the perfect 10 Ty Dillinger. So the whole 10 thing, he was counting up not one time, not two times. And I didn't even realize until like he was like not eight times. I was like, oh, no, he's talking about old NXT shit. That's amazing. And then when Wardlow was like, I can't sign this. Could you take the cuffs off?
Oh, yeah. It was hilarious.
The audience was like, no, don't do it. No,
yeah, there's some marks. You're all marks.
No, because I would have been saying the same thing in that ring or in that audience, because he had them in the palm of his hand. It was perfect. And it was also great because the audience, A, got to do that. Like, no, don't do it, MJF. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, start chanting, Wardlow's going to kill you, because he is ostensibly the face. So they get to have their cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, in that level, and in like, yeah, that MJF gets to kind of, wander into the territory of a face for a bit and do some of those things like in a context that makes sense without abandoning what he's been so careful to maintain.
And you can also like, this is the difference between him being a face in the context of a heel and Jericho having to be a face without the context of a heel, because if you said the same things, if MJF said the exact same things, except he was actually being pushed as a face, it would come off real poorly. But he manages to like thread the needle, and he could probably only do it in Long Island and nowhere else. But for just this, you know, every time they go there, he gets to do that, and it's perfect. Mm-hmm. Also, Smart Mark makes a great case for who is it that there's somebody in WWE that people are complaining like, oh my God, this guy's a great wrestler. Why are they making him just be a manager? Mark Sterling is a wrestler, which means he can be in there and take a big old power bomb through a table, because you know, he can actually work and bump.
I thought you were going to talk about his ability to take a big old something else in the ring.
Oh, now we're back to segment one.
Wow. Get your mind out of the gutter, Calder.
I bet that's a porn name. Get your mind out of the
gutter. Calder Gutter.
Calder Gutter. How you doing?
This was an amazing segment. Big thumbs up.
Big time.
Samoa Joe promo. We got Jay Lethal. We've got Sanjay. We've got Sadnam. This was all really great. I love Samoa Joe. I love his like smoldering delivery. I really, really, really am excited for this.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Weirdly, I middled this, and I don't even quite remember why it was, because I love Samoa Joe. I love Jay Lethal and Sanjay Dutt. I think it might have just been that, like, it didn't really push me to like the match more or get more excited about the match. I just the whole thing about, like, it's the Joker, and so I don't know who I'm facing. So, like, okay, well, then you haven't given me any information. What am I doing here?
I think. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say that I think Chan probably did what he did because we hurt the ones we love the most.
Possibly, that is a very strong chance. Yes,
I thought this was, you know, it is a little samey, but just the hype that Sanjay brings, you know, just gets you all excited. And Samoa Joe, I just love the guy, you know, and I have a hard time not liking things he does, but also I just, it's very collected, very clear, messaging, and yeah, you know, he's just being like, yeah, I'll take you on. And, you know, I've got to get through this first match. Apparently Sanjay knows who it is, but Joe doesn't know who it is. So that will be interesting.
Indeed. Anyways, I'm looking forward to it.
I give it a thumbs up.
Oh, yeah.
We've got Jungle Boy and Ricky Starks. Now, you sort of forget. And, like, you don't forget. But it's like you forget until you see it again, but you never really forgot because you always loved them. But you forget how talented Ricky is in the ring. Like, he's good at everything. He's a legit great wrestler, and they had a great match. And I just love Ricky Stark so much. Swerve. Okay, so at one point – okay, so towards the end of the match, Jungle Boy pins. But the ref's distracted, and I don't remember what distracted the ref now. Was that Swerve, or was Swerve mad at the ref later when
Swerve came out? And I think he was supposed to, or his goal was to distract Ricky, because he and Keith Lee are in a feud with Ricky and Powerhouse,
right?
But he accidentally got it mixed up, and, you know, somehow Jungle Boy was the one who got it. Was a little confusing and weird, and I wasn't too happy with the execution, although I like the how it all worked out, because you end up with, like, three tag teams all staring each other down. I'm like, yes, I want to see this. I want to see all of this.
Yeah. So basically, the ref was distracted, and then Swerve is all upset. But so it looks like Swerve got in the way of a Jungle Boy win, because then Starks was able to pin, and Hobbs is all excited with Starks and all excited. But then, you know, Christian comes out with Luchasaurus, and they're all pissed off. And Swerve's like, you know, I didn't mean that. That's not what I meant. And he's arguing with Christian. And then Keith Lee comes out to sort of back up Swerve just in case shit gets crazy. So then you have these three teams. They all look awesome. They're all great. They all need to do this. They all have a big guy. They all have a little guy that's got, you know, lots of fire. Actually, Swerve isn't little at all.
I would say he's large. Yeah.
Yeah. But Jungle Boy and Ricky Starks, compared to their big dudes, they're little dudes, even though they're not really. But whatever. Yes. I thought it was great. I have that little stare down. I turned a page, if you're wondering what I did.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
But a page yes. of what?
Notes, man. We do extensive research and preparation for this show. Come on now.
I mean, when I put notes into my phone, they get auto-corrected, and then I say ridiculous things. So.
The only notes that I have in front of me are ones demanding like large sums of money in exchange for my silence.
Interesting.
Yeah,
that's rough.
Well, you know, it's
wait,
you know,
they demand. They demand.
No, don't ask. Don't. Nope. Don't. You don't want to know.
No, I want to be clear.
If you start
to
unpack this, it's just not going to go well for any of us.
No, look, it's simply a ransom note. I want money. I know things. And, you know, that's a side hustle is what that's
I
called.
I gave this match a thumbs up.
Me too.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. We got Jazz.
Jazz.
It's awesome.
That intro.
My God. Oh, Jericho says, I'll throw a fireball in your face because I'm a wizard. And he said it serious. I loved it. Jericho 216 says, I just burned your face. Oh, it's so weird and so fun. And these guys are having a good time. It's a lot of the same stuff we've heard, like, you know, get in the ring with the sports our chair. Sports our chair is going to win.
It was great, like, when Daddy Magic led us down the path of what turns him on.
Hard nipples, yeah.
Oops, sorry. I keep hitting my mic to everyone who knows
yeah,
this.
Your nipples are super hard. I get it. You're just knocking the thing all around.
Anyways, Mox's music comes on. And Jericho says, get out of here. There's one of you and five of us. Well, guess what? Danielson, Yuta, and William Regal come out. And he's like, well, you're still, you know, we still got more people. And then behind them was Eddie Santana and Ortiz. Eddie's face is all fucked up. And the crowd is chanting, you fucked up. And a brawl ensues, and Regal punched Jericho in the throat.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, as Jazz and Jericho is clutching his throat, they go away up the ramp, and they're all staring at each other. The guys in the ring are sort of doing their thing, but, like, Regal is standing there with this death stare. And that's all he's doing is standing there with a death stare. I was like, man. This is fucking great. This guy, $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Give him $1 million.
I think WWE
let him go.
They're fucking idiots, man.
Talking about the ET of porn here.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, this was a thing that I was not looking forward to again. And they did it right. Like the bit where they're talking and just kind of going on, they actually kept relatively short. The whole meat of it was Mox entering, them saying 5-on-1, and then you're like, oh no, but like the music hits and you're like, oh, 5-on-3, and then like, who's behind them? Oh, just like this amazing dramatic build. It's yeah, sort of the opposite of like the premise is trash, but the execution of it was just like 100%. And I don't know. It was just, I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
I just think it's always hilarious when somebody overconfidently establishes that the numbers are in their favor. Like whenever somebody's like, well, I don't know what you're going to do. It's obviously not possible for you to have the numerous other people that are on your side show up right now. So since that's what's not going to happen. Clearly, I have no reason to worry. Okay. You have almost as many people as me now. Well, I'm going to act like I still have 1 million more people than you, even though 4 people can beat 5 people like anytime. Okay. Absolutely.
Surely you couldn't possibly do that a second time and have more people.
I mean, okay, so you've gone from 5-1 to 5-4, I'm sure that's the extent of your magic. Like there's surely, no way.
There's no one else here who is angry at us in any way.
I mean, yeah, the people that we were least thinking might show up showed up. What's going to happen now? The people that we most think would show up at this point show up. Yeah, that's that was amusing to me.
It was good. Thumbs all the way up.
It was good.
Stupid pick thumbs up.
Ooh. This is followed by Serena Deeb promo, but it's like other people are giving this promo. Like they're talking about Serena Deeb and they're talking about Thunder Rosa.
A sporty type promo.
Yeah. It was awesome. It's so good.
My only note is Dustin used the word dastardly. Which honestly, don't use that in a wrestling context, please.
Yeah, that's used in like cartoons.
Yes.
Like Dastardly, what's his name? Dastardly Grimm or something?
Sure.
He's a Hanna-Barbera character.
Dustin Rhodes is old enough to remember when Dastardly was an all-purpose word. So I give him,
In Wacky Races, somebody was named Dastardly something.
Yeah, it was Dastardly and Muttley.
That's it.
Nick Dastardly.
Thanks. Okay.
You're welcome.
All right. So then we got the match. Okay. Oops. I give it a thumbs up.
Yep, thumbs up.
We got Jamie Hayter versus Toni Storm. Finally.
Indeed.
But not in the way you want to say that. You know what I mean? Like I say that in an exhaustive tone, not in a I'm so excited we finally get to see this match tone. I really like Jamie Hayter's music. It's awesome. I love her attitude. I love the way she approaches the ring. I understand and I get this character, the way the hair is, the way she's dressed. I get it. You know, I like her. Toni Storm, music not so good. That bothers me. I don't know why. It just does. Where's Penelope Ford? She has a very similar style, but I like Penelope Ford more. I don't know why. Maybe because I've just been watching her for so long, but I just really like Penelope. Anyways, it was a good match. I don't know if this won me over.
Oh!
For Jesus. Oops, sorry, Calder. That's a trigger point for us. Put it in the book. Put it in the 101 jokes. Put it in there. But I don't know if she won me over or not. Toni, that is. She won the match, but...
Yeah. Part of the problem is that we've had this very long build up to this match, and then the match was good. Mm-hmm. It didn't justify that many weeks of build up. If they had used that time to instead have a series of smaller matches where, you know, something happens accidentally, someone trips and, you know, they get caught in a tight pin. You're like, ah, damn it. Oh no, another match. And then the next match, they cheat a little bit to win. You're like, no, what? And you know, you sort of build up this sort of interest in this rivalry, as opposed to just standing around and going, I could beat you. Oh, I could beat you. Okay. Well, I guess we'll find out a month and a half from now. So it was, I don't know. There's a lot of reasons why that didn't pan out. And this was a match that I thumbsed up, but it was very disappointing. The ratio of chit chattery to actual fighting.
I happen to really enjoy the upscale wine bar chit chattery. So I don't know why you're saying it in that tone, because they have an outstanding cellar. It's a really nice chill place to take someone. It's great, and it doesn't deserve your shabby treatment.
I gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it.
We've got a promo with Scorpio Sky. It was great. Talking about Frankie Kazarian, you know, and he's like, I see you there. All right. This promo was great, and I gave it a thumbs up, but it's very important to remember that he says, I see you there. Mm-hmm. Because it's followed by something, and this is a huge gaffe. Huge. Yep. In fact, I would say if that doesn't, like, just fire him. Just make him not Scorpio Sky. Okay. What'd you guys think of the promo? Thumbs up, yay, nay?
I middled it.
Eh. Oh.
I don't know. I feel like just starting my thoughts in that manner, it would be disingenuous to be like, I don't know. I guess I thought it was absolutely amazing, and I give it all the thumbs up. So I'll say middle. It wasn't terrible.
I'm still looking forward to the match. Got me kind of interested a bit. Anyway, so it's followed by a Frankie Kazarian interview that gets interrupted by Sammy and Ty Conti.
I'm sorry, I got these mixed up backwards. I did thumb up the Scorpio Sky.
Oh, okay. Thing. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So then Sammy and Ty Conti interrupt, and Sammy's like, "Hey, Frankie, I see you there. I see you later." I was like, "You piece of living shit." How dare you?
To be fair, I'm pretty sure that they just didn't realize, like, nobody was paying attention. Whoever was directing this segment hadn't seen the previous one where Scorpio Sky says, "See you later."
I get it.
And that is,
but
like, you do need somebody like on the book, like looking at all of this stuff.
Yeah,
that was bad. It's bad.
Really kind of baffling, and this was something Jericho talked about forever ago, like happening too often. But it truly is like strange to be like, are you telling me that literally no one is watching everything? Like, is there even a single person who is
Tony supposedly is the puppet master? He always says everything goes through him.
I mean, it can't just be one person because
no, it can't. Obviously,
well, no. I mean, like,
but then when you have two people, then it's possible that somebody misses something and the other person misses it, and there you go.
Yeah, it only has to be one person who, like, doesn't even have to have power over anything. Just a single person who witnesses everything and is like, you know,
this is interesting because this now begets the conversation that leads us to how we know why the WWE is the way that it is and why it runs the way that it runs, why it insists on scripting everything and having like so much control over all the content because of stuff like this.
Well, yeah.
And this is the beginning of a domino effect.
Yeah.
Like, we let this bother us to a point that management decides to make a whole lot of changes, then it's just one more domino getting hit. It's going to hit another at some point. Anyways, I loved, though, how Frankie said, "Your vlog sucks." I liked it. And I just can't stand Sammy and Ty. I really hate it. If they're going to be a couple, like a wrestling couple, either be a strong silent type that's standing there like mean-faced, but don't be the simpering, whimpering, silent woman next to the man that's talking. That drives me crazy.
I feel she's
having her own little reactions and stuff, but she doesn't say a word and like have an opinion or say something. She just has her hand on his shoulder and like, puts her hair behind her ear, looks down, like making expressions like, ooh, and ooh, you know what I mean? But it's like, I'd rather none of that, just stand there mean-faced and be silent, because that is a thing, that's a trope that all wrestling duos have, yeah? But being, I'm sorry, but it's really – it's a personal thing for me. I hate it. I really hate seeing it.
Yeah. No, I get where you're coming from on it. I do think that the gimmick is that they are like the shittiest. What's the youngest generation now? Is it Gen Z or is it Gen Alpha or something like that? Like,
yeah,
it's basically these kids today are really terrible, and so I personally think that they are just doing it really well to the point where like you actively you're like, even though I know this is, you know, what they're supposed to be doing, I'm still really upset about it.
Well, what about it is so like, new? What about it is them being new? Because she
it doesn't have to be new.
Behaving that way is not a new generation thing.
No.
That's an old thing, which is my problem.
But that there's nothing wrong with that. There are. Yeah, there's elements of misogyny.
There's a problem with some old things, and that being one of them.
Elements of misogyny in that role, yes. And that is very much a concern. I don't think that was their intent.
Of course, it wasn't their intent, and this is why I say what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's fair. Yeah.
You think it's their intent?
No, I don't. I think that sometimes
it does not help her at all in her singles career, which maybe at some point she'll have. Who knows?
Yeah, I would hope.
And I don't mean single like they break up. Right. But I just mean they won't be tag teams.
Yeah.
Or whatever. They might not come out together. Because it's not wrestling couples work together ad infinitum, even if they're still together. You know what I mean?
Professor.
Yeah. Basically, they're giving her something to do. Because she just recently had a run at the women's belt. So they take her out of contention for a little while. That way they can bring her in fresh, you know, so in a couple months be like, oh yes, I really want to see Ty Conti fighting. So
I
get you though. I get you.
She should just stand there and not do all the dumb stuff. Because if you're going to do all the emoting and animation, say a word, say things, have opinions on what's happening. Don't just stand by your man.
Yeah.
I thumbed the segment down because of that whole SCU later thing. So.
Yes. And Sammy and Ty down. Yeah. Although I do like Frankie. I'm sorry. Sorry, Frankie.
He is. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Frankie. This was another middle for me.
I hope I haven't talked over you, Calder, because I really can't hear you.
I'm probably leaning back to sometimes, like, unintentionally.
Stop slouching, young
you
man.
Know, it's like what you need to do is set it up so that, like, you can lay down in bed and your mic will be directly above your mouth. So then you can just, you know, relax.
Are you laying down in bed, Teresa?
No. But I'm saying I'm very relaxed. And I have the mic exactly in front of me, so but I'm not laying down.
I don't believe you. Next week, we're going to have the video on. We're going to have the video on next week because I don't trust you.
Oh, fuck.
Wow.
not needed.
Oh, and yeah, you know what? If that doesn't work out, then everyone comes back into the office. How do you like that?
Oh, I love it. Chan's getting micromanagey. All right. Jeff Hardy versus Darby. Allin. Jeff Hardy has like these rainbow colors that are like blue, yellow, and pink. Now that is very specific to the very early 90s. No. Early 2000s when like, you know, all this futuristic stuff, like you had clothing made out of this almost reflector plastic and, you know, those like stickers or pictures or something where you turn it one way and it'll be like the person's waving and you turn it the other way and the person's doing something else, you know? So
it's
like
lenticular art.
That's it. So this type of plastic material with that exact rainbow color scheme, the weird blue, yellow, and pink, they did that type of imagery. They sort of had that type of imagery to it. And they made hats out of it. They made notebooks out of it. They made jackets, all kinds of stuff. It was all the rage. And it was like, ooh, it's like, ooh, so futuristic. So like, this was something the late 90s was doing in preparation for the year 2000, and it lingered a little bit. So really it was pre-millennium, but anticipating what life would be like living in the millennium.
we're about to enter into the millennium. Like a lot of new changes are going to envelop us all.
Oh God. Yes. So I thought that was funny because I was like, man, that must be like from his closet. Because it's hard to find those colors now, man. The stuff like it. Anyways,
I'll tell you what I am unapologetically very, very there for Jeff Hardy's dancing whenever he does it. I find it quite exciting and fun.
Ugh. I liked his eyeball face paint. I thought that was interesting because it was like, wait, is his eyes open or closed? Wait a minute. Every time he would like walk around with his eyes closed, I'm like, wait, what? Huh? Oh, whoa.
And not enough wrestlers adopt technology that they learn from moths.
And then Darby was covered in so much oil. I was like, wait, what? Has he done this before? I don't remember him being so oily before.
Well, it's
he's
all
got a lot of paint.
It's all in preparation for getting cut off from Russian supplies.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess so. He's like, I'm ready.
I'm stocking
in
up.
Petrol, gas, oil. Anyway, so. Right at the jump, you know, Darby starts building this new ring made out of chairs outside of the ring. Darby hits the stairs. It all kind of looked like a blown spot, but I couldn't tell if that was exactly how it was supposed to happen because it didn't look like he protected his face, but maybe he did. Or maybe he just didn't care. I don't know.
Yeah.
This match was going on. You know, it was doing its thing. And then the huge ladder that had been introduced earlier, Darby stands on it, and like Jeff is outside the ring. So not only do you have this really enormously tall ladder in the ring, but the ladder now is, okay, it's in the ring, so that adds more height to it. And you have Darby at the top of it and Jeff outside of the ring. Darby jumps onto Jeff. They end up on this fucking chair structure thing.
It was
they
like a chair
catwalk. They both probably got really fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't. I don't know if that's all it was there for. I mean, I guess it helps break a fall. I don't really know.
I don't even know. I am just really
freaky looking.
I took some notes to make sure that we hit like all of the high points and stuff like that. But basically, the only note that I really need is the one I made at the beginning, which was just this entire thing was just like me worried that Jeff would kill himself.
Yeah.
Darby, like I know he's going to do something insane and he could very well kill himself, but I'm like, all right, well, you know, he's young and he's going to keep doing this until he doesn't. And hopefully he can walk after he's done, you know, with wrestling. But it's escalating to the point of New Jack back in ECW, which there was just a point where I was just like, that's not a thing that I want to watch anymore. Cause he was just climbing up on scaffolding that was, I don't know. I feel like it was legit 50 feet in the air. Maybe it was just good camera angles, but he would just, that was, he would just fall. He would just fall onto somebody who was on like four levels of stacked tables. And it was just madness. And I didn't like at one point, like the first time you see Mick Foley go off the cage, you're like, oh my God, that is amazing. And you know, the fact that it was planned and he, you know, it went correctly and he did all that, like, that's great. And then it just turned into a thing where people would just fall off ridiculously high things. And I don't want to say there was no skill involved, but it just, it stopped being entertaining. And this whole thing, all of the big spots, the starting with that tall ladder spot, which is just bonkers. I was just like, no, I don't want to see that. I just don't.
Yeah.
So
it was insane. What did you think, Calder?
I wasn't quite as pessimistic or wary of it as Chan. I liked it all right, but it wasn't like on the level of some of the best stuff that anyone involved had done. So I would not want someone to die over that, I guess. But yeah, it was all right.
And then, you know, Darby does a coffin drop and you think that's all over for Jeff, but he does a counter and wins.
As bad as the match was, that finish somehow managed to be worse.
What? You thought that was bad?
I thought it was terrible.
No.
He coffin drops him and two count, and then like whoop, it slips into a, you know, surprise roll up that just, ugh. I'm sorry. I don't know.
That's all right.
I don't know what bug got up my butt, but I hated everything about this entire match.
That's me and Sammy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was going to see that.
I mean, I gave it a thumbs up, even though these things are not my favorite things, but I thought they did a good job doing what they do. And I was very much like, oh my God, you know, like, whoa. And
And don't let anything that I'm saying be like, you're a bad person for liking this kind of thing. It just, it doesn't do it for me like it used to. So,
right.
Calder.
It was a middle to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Rainbow.
Wow. So pretty.
And that was the match of the night. So now that we've wasted 4 hours of everyone's time, they can get back to their good lives.
But they don't know what the final number is.
That's right. They need to stay for that. Crunch.
Will they find out?
It is an 82% show.
Ooh.
82?
Whoa. Which is, whoa. I mean, here's the thing. There was some really good stuff in this.
Yeah, there was.
But I think it is also properly rated because some stuff was just real bad. Me personally.
Wasn't perfect.
No.
That's all right.
But it is. Except for the one show.
nothing that you bring into reality can ever truly be perfect, you know, and if you allow it to remain perfect, it can never truly be.
Except for cats. Cats are perfect.
Cats are perfect. Perfect jerks.
And the Brody Lee show.
Yeah.
Anyway, at AE Doubleback on Twitter, AE _ Doubleback on Instagram. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding-ding, ding-ding, ding-ding-doom. Ding, 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 ding.